Obviously, you know what we celebrate today. It's what? Jesus rose. Everybody says Jesus rose, right? But we celebrate something more than that, though that is pretty important. Is we celebrate not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but because he has risen from the dead, so will we.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know if you grasp a hold of that. Now, when you walked in the door here today, and we know we celebrated Easter, and we have our Easter lilies, and we had all that special music, we did celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, but you got to clearly understand that you also celebrated your resurrection. Is anybody glad Jesus died for you?
Yes.
I mean, are you celebrating that victory today too? Do you understand that because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and conquered sin and death, so shall you? And are you also celebrating that not so shall you, but so shall all of those in your family that you love who accept Jesus Christ? They celebrate a resurrection too. Are you rejoicing with that? Do you know that all of those of us who have loved ones who have passed from this earth, do you know that they are with the Lord too? Do you know that they have already celebrated their resurrection and their souls with Jesus? Who's glad about that? I mean, there's a lot to be happy about today. There's so much that we need to be rejoicing. We really, truly could all say in the songs, you know, he's alive, but you could put he and she and they and them and all of that too, because they are alive too. Because Jesus said, because I live, so shall you also live. Anybody celebrating that? Let's give the Lord a hand clap for what he's done. Oh, it's great news, right? It's great news. It's great news. And do you also know that this Bible's big theme, everybody's going to say Jesus Christ, but you know what the other big secondary theme is with this Bible is freedom. Hallelujah. It's freedom. This book called the Holy Bible is all about freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from addictions, freedom from your problems, freedom. This book preaches freedom. Is anybody glad about that? I mean, when you stop to consider the enormity of being free, who's glad you're free? Now, you might be saying unto yourselves, well, I'm glad I live in the good old U.S. of A. where I'm free. That's true. But you are a lot more free than you think. You are. And I need you to turn into your word, please. And I need you to turn to the Gospel of St. John. The Gospel of St. John. And we're going to read chapter 8. And I'm going to read for you verses 31 to 36. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. And then Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that we will be made free? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you celebrating that today? Do you clearly understand the enormity of what God's word says? That because he has been risen from the dead, all of the truths in the Bible are therefore true. Jesus Christ indeed has risen from the dead. As witnessed by tons of people, they saw the Lord. And because he's risen from the dead, guess what that makes all of this? True. It's true. And I know that we talked a good bit on Good Friday about hell. And the Palm Sunday, Pastor Ed brought a great teaching in crucifixion. Did you know there can be no resurrection unless there's a crucifixion? Did you know that there cannot be a resurrection? There cannot be a resurrection unless there was a Good Friday. And I want to clearly let you know, people had said to me last Sunday when Pastor Ed did the teaching, there were a couple of people said to me, oh, I don't know how, I can't take that. Good. I mean, there were some people said to me, oh man, that was pretty harsh. Good. Because crucifixion is harsh. How do you make crucifixion pretty? Oh, I know how. Hang them on a cross on your neck. You get them in sterling, silver, or gold. I guess that makes it pretty. But crucifixion is not pretty. Crucifixion is terrible. Fact is, as Pastor had said, it's the most heinous thing that the Romans could come up with, to kill another human being. And then on Good Friday, we talked all about hell. Well, I got some letters on that one. Oh, that was tough. Hell is tough. I know, but oh my gosh. Well, hell is tough. But the good news about the crucifixion and the good news about hell and the good news about all those things, when you concentrate on Friday, you got to know that Sunday's coming. Friday might be here, but guess what's coming? Sunday's coming. Jesus was crucified. And he was laid in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. And they wanted to make sure that Jesus would not come out. And so they rolled a big old stone in front of it. You all know the story, right? And they put Roman guards there to see to it that he wouldn't come out. Isn't that funny? Now think it through. Now think it through. Jesus said, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to build it up again. I'm going to raise it up again. And they thought a stone was going to stop God. They thought a couple of Roman guards was going to stop God. Ain't that rich? So who's stopping you? That's a pretty good question. I mean, it's the same power the Holy Spirit lives in you that lives in him. Cannot you do all things too? Well, then why aren't we? I mean, that's an interesting question, huh? You see, when the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out into the light of day, he conquered sin and death. And we too were in borrowed tombs too. We are. Some of you in this room right now are in tombs that you borrowed. And you might be saying to me, well, Pastor Tom, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm very much alive. Are you? Oh, you're breathing. I've seen you breathing. And I'm pretty sure I didn't go to medical school, but I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express. And I'm pretty sure I can tell that your heart's beating. Oh, you are breathing and your heart is beating, but you could be dead where you're sitting. Is that true? You see, some of us may be alive but have no life. Is that possible? I mean, is it possible to be alive but yet have no life? Is it possible to be breathing and your heart be beating, but yet you are so much misery and so much, pain that you don't even have a life? How many know what I'm talking about when I tell you that? Oh, a lot of people are raising their hands. And so therefore, what happens is we are all in borrowed tombs. And unfortunately for us, some of those tombs that we are in, we put ourselves in. And then we rolled a stone in front. And we said, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Help me understand that phenomena. Just, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me in my misery. There was once a person that was suffering with depression and all kind of ill feelings. And a person would knock on the door and say, hey, you want to come out today? No, no, no. Okay, and the next day, a couple more friends had come by, and they knocked on the door and said, hey, we're going to go down to the mall. You want to go? No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then the following day, you know, a couple more friends knocked on the door, and this time the person said, leave me alone. Don't you understand? I worked hard for this misery, and I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, some of us plan it. Oh, I worked hard for this. It took me all my years to get me in this state, and boy, oh boy, I'm going to enjoy it. Leave me alone. You see, what happens is we got to understand that some tombs we put ourselves in. And some of those borrowed tombs that we have are not called Joseph of Arimathea. They may be called depression. They may be called grief. They may be called bad health, lack of finances, bad relationships. Well, we have them. Well, we all have our tombs. How many know we all have our tombs? Oh, they're there. We all got them. But the question is, what are we going to do about them? Are we going to stay in them for the rest of our life? And here's the problem about being in those tombs. You're still breathing and your heart is still beating, but you're inside the tomb because you have no life, because you are succumbed to the borrowed tombs that you have. So what are we going to do? I guess what I just read for you is that if you got the truth, you'll be set free. And for those who are set free by the Son are free what?
Indeed.
Oh, we have them. We all got them. The interesting thing about human beings is we're allowed to have them for how long? As long as you want them. And you understand, too, that, you see, you understand that nobody can keep you in there either. Let's talk a little bit about these tombs that we find ourselves encased in. I think everybody in this room have a loved one who's passed into the kingdom of heaven. Who has a loved one that passed into the kingdom of heaven? Raise your hand. Let me see. Who has somebody that lives in the... Oh, keep your hands up. Okay, everybody, look around. Look around. This is pretty what?
Universal.
It's pretty universal, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty universal that those of us who are human have family members that were also human, and therefore, if you live on this earth long enough, you will experience grief. How many know that to be sure? Oh, you will experience it. It's part of being human. Just the way that it is. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that when a loved one passes away? What do we do with that? Well, surely, the first thing that we want to do is go into our cave, into our tomb of darkness. How many understand that? That's what we want to do. We want to go into our tomb of darkness, and we want to mourn, and we want to grieve, and that's the natural process. But then what do we do after that? Jesus said, because I live, so shall you also live. The thing that we have to grasp with, is that true? Or is that just a really nice cliche kind of thing? Well, because Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that makes what? It's true. And when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many dwelling places, is that not also true? And when Jesus said, in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, so shall you also live, is that true? Well, then, wait a second then. Well, that means that our loved ones who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are not dead. They're alive. I mean, is that true? And not only are they alive, but they are alive in the presence of a holy God. How many say this world's messed up? I mean, how many say this world is really messed up? How many as old as me and Sonny remember we had to walk uphill to school both ways with snow and no boots? How many understand? We know we did that, right? How many remember that the worst thing you could do in school was chewing gum? And where'd they put it? Who said on your nose? Oh, you're the one, huh, Paul? You're the one. Paul's the one. They put it on your nose. How many remember when girls had to wear dresses and guys had to wear button-down collars? How many remember the sexually transmitted disease in high school was the kissing disease? You got the mono. How many understand the mono? Kathy! Kathy! Make sure you wash your hands with Kathy! How long did the mono last back then? Anybody remember how the mono lasts? How long, Paul? Sue? Oh, Sue knows, huh? Oh, her girlfriend had it. Right. Right. But today in 2013, what's the sexually transmitted disease you could get? AIDS. How long is that going to last? Until you think about that. What's the number one problem in the schools today? Is it chewing gum? It's what? How many say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. How many want to live in a perfect world? Would love to live in a perfect world. Well, guess what? It's not perfect this side of heaven. But how many know your loved ones are in a perfect world right now? I mean, they really are. They really are. How many long to be with the Lord someday? Well, guess what? Our loved ones are what? There, where we long to be. Guess where they are? Where we long to be. Can anybody say hallelujah for that? I mean, let's talk reality here. And once you can grasp a hold of that truth, say, wait wait a second, they are with the Lord, and I'm still in this stinking world where there's all kinds of crime and goofiness. How many say amen to that? So, can we understand that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, this makes this true? And our loved ones are with him? And how many know it says in Scripture that there will be a blessed reunion in heaven, the day will come that we will be there and know those who have gone on before us? How many longer for the day you'd be reunited? So is that true? Yes. Yes. And so when the stone is rolled away, what should you do with that grief? Come out into the light of day. That's what we should do. What about depression? How many know anything about depression in this room? Pretty universal. I mean, who gets depressed at times in their life? Probably everybody. Who wrestles with anxiety? Oh yeah, Mike? Probably everybody, right? I want to make sure that you understand something. Brothers and sisters, I need to tell you what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Listen to me. How many get anxiety? Now listen to me. You got to wrestle with this. What you are then saying is, I believe that God can do what kind of things? Except that thing which causes me anxiety. Let's run that for you one more time. You need to get a grip. God, I know that you can do all things, but not that thing. Because that thing I need to worry about. And that's why it's causing me some anxiety. Ain't that goofiness? Or you're saying, I believe you can do all things, but you choose not to do that thing for me. Therefore, I need to be anxious. Do you understand that? Let me help you with something. You're not going to get everything that you want in this world. How many understand that? Number two, you are not the most important person on the face of the earth. I know that's going to burst some bubbles in this room. But I want to let you know right now, you need to get over yourself. So turn to somebody right now and say, get over yourself. Go ahead. Don't do it. No. Get over yourself, Mike. How many enjoy doing that? Wasn't that pretty cool? Well, you know what? You want to know what? I'm going to give you something else to say. I want you to turn to somebody and say, you know what? I am not the most important person in this world. You are. Now turn to that person and say that to them. Woo! Mike, you're the most important person in the world, Mike. And see, some of our problem has got to get over ourselves. We have not come to be served. If you are waiting to be served, have a happy, anxious life. Because I want to let you know right now, you're not all that important. We have not come to be served, we have come to serve. Now let me help you with that to make sure we're on the same page. How many of you get more joy out of giving than receiving? That's called servant. That's called serving. One more time. Who gets more joy out of giving than receiving? That's called serving. So you would rather serve than to be served by your own admission. And when you go against that will that God has given to you and you say, no, I want to be served. Good luck. Have a happy, anxious life. Because it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. But you can serve who? Anybody that you want to. And so we have to understand with anxiety. The reason we have anxiety is because we're looking for something, desiring something, hoping on something that isn't going to happen. Not all the time. How many can write a book on worry? Who can be like a really good book? Say, man, this is how you worry. The first class worry by me. Here's the 10 steps to worry. Who could do that? Okay, Sue, thank you. Paul. Karen. Oh. Who could write the second book in the sequel? All the things I have saved through worry. Yeah. No way. All right, so I got some people said I could write a book on worry. Who could write a book on all the things I have? You know, I have just, this worry has just done all these great things for me. Now, who could write the third book, How to Kill Yourself Through Worry? Oh, we got a lot of people. Who wants to buy those books? Timmy, don't put your hand out there. Now I'm worried about you. So we have anxiety in our lives. We all got anxiety. And guess what? You don't die from anxiety. You wonder how I know that? Because you're still here. So chill out. Let God be God. Anybody got any depression? Depression issues? Ever have depression issues? You know the best way to get rid of your depression? Get rid of your depression. By going serving somebody. By serving somebody. You all said I get more joy out of serving. So if you have depression, sign up on Mark's team, go down and feed the homeless people. Go down to the homeless shelter and walk downstairs in the basement. Where's Mark? You been down there? They should go down there. Go down to the homeless shelter, not where the food is served. Go down into the basement and see where they sleep. You won't be depressed too long. No, you really won't be. One day I was down at the homeless shelter, down the Light Life homeless shelter, about 4 or 5 years ago, and we had these song books. Now you listen to me, church, song books. And the song books had words in it, like $2, $1.95. And I was leading the service, and I passed out these song books, and this guy was sitting there, and I went to collect the song book. He said, "Can I have this?" I said, "Well, what would you do if I give it to you?" "Oh, I sing every day to the Lord. I sing every day to the Lord." I said, "You can have it." He had a brown shopping bag. He took all his clothes off, put his book in the bottom of the bag, put all his clothes back on. He's sitting there hugging it like this. I'm watching him. I was doing the service, and 10 minutes later, he pulled it back out, gave it back to me. I said, "You don't want it? Can you put my name in it? I can't write. Can you put my name in it so nobody steals it?" When was the last time you coveted a $2 book? A $2 book. How many got more than a $2 book? What are you depressed about? I was down there one time, I think Pastor Colin was with me, I'm not sure, but this Ovation over there, that one I played, that black one, that's fairly new, like 4 or 5 years old, because I had another one, like my good friend Sonny has, and I was playing it down Light Love Homeless Shelter, and one of the homeless guys said, "Hey, can I play your guitar?" Now, you don't tell a homeless guy he can't play your guitar. That's just bad, right? And so he got up on the stage, and the stage is about yo big, and there's a concrete floor there before they carpeted it. And he had my guitar, my Ovation guitar, he's playing it, and he didn't have a strap on, he dropped it off the stage on the concrete. And I'm watching him play, and the first thing I saw was a guitar. It's like slow motion. How many of you like these things in slow motion? Like, and I'm going. And it hit, and it bounced, and it hit, and it bounced, and I saw pieces. Pieces, airborne, like the black thing in the boat, that's going that way. And the top of the guitar was going that way. And some keys was going that way. And I picked it up and I saw a crack. It went all the way through this. I'm trying to be pastoral. How many know you want to say stuff you can't say? I mean, how many's ever wanted to say something? Like, you know, you just want to throw something. Who's ever gone through that? You know, like, "Hi, get home." And I'm a pastor. I can't say that. And I went... And everybody's looking at me. He's going to say it. It's okay. It'll be okay. And the homeless guy said to me, I'll pay for it. And I want to say something again. How are you going to pay for it? It's a $1,200 guitar. I just looked at him and I said to him, "It's okay." And he said to me, "No, Pastor, it's not okay. I broke it. And I need to pay for it." He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a quarter. He gave me a quarter. He said, "I don't know how much that costs, but I'm going to pay it for as long as I live." And every fourth Thursday I went down there, he gave me another quarter. And his name is Willie, and I have a jar of quarters, and I never counted it. How many of you depressed again? How many got more than 25 cents in your pocket? We need to get a grip. Are there things that cause us depression? Of course there are. But Jesus gave us life. How many got anger issues? Anybody angry at anybody? You know, "Oh, I just can't wait." Okay, Nick, thank you, Nick, for being honest with me. I mean, anger issues, like, you know, angry things. You know, we can get rid of that too. Because what Jesus did, when he walked out of that hole, We can walk out in the light of day. And you know why we have anger issues? Because we can't forgive people. We have a problem with forgiveness. How many of you have a hard time forgiving somebody? How many have a hard time forgiving yourself? True. I mean, forgiving yourself is like one of the hardest things to do. Right? But what Jesus did when he nailed to a tree, he forgave your sins. He forgave them all. Who are you? Who are you to not forgive yourself? If he did that for you, who are you? Because what? You made a stupid choice. How many make stupid choices in this room? Universal. Who's still suffering the consequences of some pretty stupid choices? How many know your biggest problem's got your name on it? How many are glad you ain't in charge? Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're not in charge. Don't do it. I mean, be real. That's how many are glad somebody a lot bigger than us is in charge, right? And so one of the things that we got to do, Lord, is when we're in that hole and the stone is rolled in front and we're in there not willing to forgive anybody and we're angry and we're so mad and we're so depressed and we're so anxious, how's that working for you? Really? I mean, how's that working for you? Is that working okay for you? When you get up in the morning and you start your anxiety and your anger and all, how's that working out for you? Working out pretty good for you? Well, how many know you have too much of that stuff? You got a heart beating and you got some breath in your lungs, but you are dead. Because Jesus said, I've come so that you will have life. And have it how? Abundantly. Abundantly. How many know you're not promised another day? How many you're not? I mean, you really aren't. How many know this could be your last day? This really could be it. This really could. How many get that little heart skippy flutter thing and you go like this? Oh, who does that? I do it. Who else does it? Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Eric. Who else does it? Who gets a skippy? Go, thank you for being honest. And all the rest of you are lying. I can't believe you. Lie on Easter Sunday. Pastor Ed, do you do this? There's another one. Who gets a little skippy heartbeat sometimes? So what do you do? Sue says nothing. Sue says ignore. Way to go, Sue. Turn to somebody and say, in 30 years, you ain't going to be here. Go tell somebody that. That's going to look right. Oh, you'll still be here. You guys will be here. Oh, God. You'll be here. That's true. How many know in 50 years, this room is going to look a little different? I'll be the only one introducing people to somebody else. They come in the door. It's true. It's true. And you know what? Until you can come to grips with your own mortality, you cannot appreciate every day that you got. You can't. This day, you have to treat it as your last one. So go and do something that's going to bring you some joy. Come out of that cave that you are in and come out and get a breath of fresh air. It's your choice. But when the stone is rolled away, you have a choice. Some people choose to what? Stay in. Why? Why? It's not good. You got to come out and take a breath of fresh air. Are you going to have trouble? Yes. Are you going to have more trials? Yes. Are you going to have more obstacles? Yes. Will you have more heartache when somebody dies? Yes. But would you rather not love somebody? Well, there's somebody a lot smarter than us once said, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. How much willing to take the gamble on loving somebody? With all your heart? Knowing you're going to grieve with all your heart? Who take the risk every time? Then come out. Come out. Take the risk. Take the risk. What's the alternative? Be the walking dead? I mean, the other day, I was at lunch with a couple people, and they had their grandchildren with them, and they were talking to me about zombies. They happened to get to see the classic that Sonny and I watched when we were kids, The Night of the Living Dead. How many watched The Night of the Living Dead? How many remember like Chili Billy and The Outer Limits, The Twilight Zone? How many were scared the bejeebies out of you when you watched that stuff, right? I don't go to those ones anymore. Oh. And I watched Boris Karloff, Dracula, and oh, he's so scary. And the person was saying to me, Pastor Thomas, there's zombies. No, this was a child. Come on. It wasn't an adult. It's a child. all but Yoshiko, the rest were kids, said to me, "Pastor Tom, is there zombies?" And of course I said, in my vocalness, I said, "Well, no." But in my heart, I said, "Oh, I know some. Oh, I know some. Oh, yeah, they're walking around like, I got to get up tomorrow, it's Monday. I got to go fight traffic. Oh, why? That stupid groundhog said there's going to be an early spring, and he lied. Now we're suing the groundhog. We want to shoot the groundhog. There's a death warrant out for the groundhog. Oh, it's true. What? I mean, there's a lawsuit against that stupid groundhog. You all know there's a lawsuit. I'm sure, Becca, in Ohio, there's some attorney sued the groundhog. And now there's somebody who's, they're offering a bounty on the groundhog, $100, anybody kills the groundhog. I mean, we got to get a life. I mean, we really got to get a life, right? But there are people who say to themselves, "Oh, tomorrow's Monday. Oh, it's going to snow. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe." That's just like, there's people like that. If you got breath, it's a good day. When you got up this morning, your eyes popped open. How many know that's the start of a good day? Hey, I'm a hospice chaplain. Not everybody gets that day. How many set their alarm clocks last night, woke up this morning? How many got a snooze button? Don't hit that snooze button no more. Do you know that might be the last snooze button you ever hit? So when you hit that, no, when that thing goes up, get up. Now I'm going to let you know something. There are no alarm clocks that wake people up. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. See, because I know people that didn't get up, and alarm clock's still going off. Oh, no. Alarm clocks don't wake people up. God wakes people up. God says, "Hey, get up. Get up. Clock's going off. Get up. Get up. We got some more work to do today. Come on. Get up." How many glad God woke you up last night? Now, I don't know all of your problems, and I don't know all of your deals. I don't know all of your tombs, and I don't know all the names. I don't know any of those things. I don't know. Some I know, some I don't, but I know who Jesus is. And I know what he did. And what he did is conquered sin and death. And because he conquered sin and death, I am too. And I know that too. And I know the day will come I'll see my boy again. I know that too. And I know the day will come that I'll be united with all those who have gone on before me. And I know that is true too. Now, I'm not saying, "Lord, take me now," but it's okay if you do. Who's ready for that too? So you have to decide. You have to decide. So what is the significance of the crucifixion of the Lord? He came out, he conquered sin and death, so shall you also. In the mountains in West Virginia, they have coal mines there. And before anybody can go in the coal mines of West Virginia, a lone guy comes up in a pickup truck. About 2 or 3 in the morning, just him by himself, before the day shift starts. He drives up there, snow, cold, rain, doesn't matter. All by himself, he gets there around 2 o'clock, and I'm sure he pours a thermos full of coffee, he's putting on his miner suit, and putting his helmet on with his light. All by himself, there's nobody there, nobody there. He gets his clipboard out, puts on his oxygen tank, he probably takes a stretch or two, it's early in the morning, he's probably chilling the bones, he knows he's going to go through that mine. Nobody's there, just himself. And he starts. He walks into the mine by himself. In about 100 yards or so into the mine, he stops. He takes off his oxygen mask, and he waits. Puts the oxygen mask back on, puts a check. He walks about another 100 or 200 yards, he does the same thing. He goes to a designated spot, he takes his oxygen mask off, puts it on his helmet, and he goes, puts the mask back on, puts a check. He does it all through the mine. Takes him a couple hours to do that. At the end of that couple hours or so, he walks out of the mine, out into the parking lot, and all the other operators are coming with all their cars and all their trucks. They're waiting for him, and they see one lone light coming out of the mine. And they're waiting for that light. They're waiting for that light to come out into the mine. Does anybody know what he's doing in there? He's checking for gas. He's checking for methane. And if he doesn't come back out, guess what the miners know? Don't go in. Don't go in. Don't go in. And so they wait, and they're probably kibitzing and pouring coffee, and they're waiting and waiting. They see that one light come on. They come out. They all applaud. Because you know what? He went in and checked it out. And he comes back out on the other side, and he says to them, hey, I went in. I checked it out. It's okay for you to go to work today. Well, Jesus did that. See, for 3 days, he went all through death. Every chasm, every nook, every cranny of death. And on the third day, he came back out. And he says to all of us, don't worry about it. I've been through all of death. I've been all through it. And I come out on the other side. Don't you worry about it either. I was there. I checked it out. And it's going to be okay. Because I live, so shall you also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that on this Easter Sunday morning that you resurrected from the dead, and everything therefore that you said was true. Everything is true. Yes, Lord, there's not one single thing we need to fear. Not one. Not one. So, Lord, as we come here today, and maybe some of us are getting ready to go off to meet our families and have a ham or kielbasa or Easter eggs or whatever, help us to remember, Lord, that the reason why we are here is because you resurrected from the dead. And because you resurrected, so will we. Lord, we can do all things, through you who strengthen us, and we give you thanks. And all of God's people said, amen.